morning, folks, and welcome back once again. Yes, it is Friday morning, and we are live. Going to talk about what's going on around the nation and around the world. This is Mark Call here in, well, it's sunny for now, but we're expecting some snow later on. Anyway, southern Colorado up in the mountains. Got Jeff Gilbert on a lot further south, and we are hoping, or we were hoping, that Tim Kern would be with us this week. But sounds like he is unavailable, at least for a while. So perhaps if I hear my cell phone ringing in the background, I'll be able to connect him sometime during the hour here. So we'll look forward to that if it happens. But we can't count on it. Meanwhile, Jeff, there is more than enough corruption and war and attempts to destroy what's left of the rule of law all over the place to talk about. Let me ask you this with no small amount of trepidation. Where would you like to start?
Yeah. Hey, now, just because you have no idea where I'm going to take you doesn't mean you should have trepidation.
Well, you never know. Yeah.
Well, you know, we can always start with Venezuela. He raised their minimum wage, 150%, and then went on to say that Trump is like Hitler because of the sanctions that are being put on Venezuela.
Oh, gosh. He should be in Congress, yeah, I guess, because he sounds a lot like Ocasio-Cortez or most of the delegation from the People's Republic of California with a K. I guess the bottom line here seems to be...
If you don't give me my Obama phone, then you're a terrible person.
Yeah, and I'm going to raise the minimum wage of all the unemployed people in Venezuela so they can pay 50% more for a dead cat than they were paying before.
150% of nothing is still nothing.
You bet. All right. And again, I guess the important lesson from Venezuela is, yeah, you can look west to the left coast. You can see it. You can look at I don't want to talk about this really, Jeff, but I keep looking at this Ocasio-Cortez person and asking myself, can people really be that stupid? This woman is absolutely vacant, you know, nobody home. And it's amazing to me to see the kind of stuff that she keeps spouting and that people actually don't laugh her off the stage or the TV show or whatever. It is incredible, the level of ignorance that now passes for socialist education.
Well, you know, they have a goal. The goal is to create people who think a certain way. So they've gotten into the school systems, into the education, the higher education systems, and they're changing the way people think.
Well, let me ask you this.
So these people, when they get into office, they'll have a whole new mindset. These are the people who are coming into office in the next couple of years, the next 15, 20 years. These people are the ones today who don't even know if their gender is male, female, or non-binary. You know, it's...
This Ocasio-Cortez almost sounds like a bad joke. I had to confirm this one a couple places. The video's up there. She actually said, she was asked by a reporter about the three branches of government in the Constitution. You know her answer? Have you heard this one? Sounds like
yes,
a joke.
Yes.
Yeah. The president and the Senate and the House. Those are the three branches.
She forgot a couple things there.
Well, I don't think she ever knew them. And then you got the guy from California, Swalwell, that basically is saying, I intend to commit open treason. I'm going to make war against the people of the United States. I'm going to make them an offer they can't refuse. And if they don't like it, then we have nukes. And basically what he says is, I'm going to take away your right to defend yourself from communists like me. So this is open treason. And, you know, to my understanding, if we'd actually read the Constitution, these people are not able to take an oath to support, preserve, and defend a document that they detest and are actively already working against. So why the heck are we going to swear them in? It's a joke, literally, to have people take an oath and swear them in when we all know they're lying already.
Well, isn't that, you know, it's part of the lobotomy process when you go into politics. Pretty much any level you go into, you're going to, it doesn't matter if you're good when you go in or not, you're going to be bad once you get in.
You know, and
the system is horrible. The entire system is so messed up. Did you know that coal plants in the United States and England have lost money for decades and have been operating in the negative for decades? And the only reason they're still around is because of the pressure from lobbying groups. Our system is busted. And it doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter. The entire system is busted. It doesn't matter how good you are when you walk in the gates. You're going to be a babbling moron by the time you sit down in the chair.
Oh, well, in this case, they're babbling morons before they sit in the chair. And while I don't disagree with that, Jeff, obviously we've talked about this for years. We've been watching certain things happen. And I have for quite a while now said that the gloves are off, right? That there was this once – iron fist of tyranny that was hidden by the velvet glove. The velvet glove's been removed. But we're so far beyond the point where the gloves are off that it's not funny. I guess what bugs me is, once upon a time, most Americans could be blissfully ignorant and they could lie to themselves and they could say, okay, yeah, we know politicians are corrupt. Yeah, we know that you have to have a lobotomy before you can sit in Congress or whatever the jokes might be. And now we know that the Congress doesn't make a darn bit of difference. We've known that for years. I've joked about the two wings of the bird of prey. But the difference this year is, and this is the thing that I ought to concern, should really concern folks. We'll talk about the Mueller so-called investigation in a minute, and the hypocrisy there, and the attempts to foment war all over the world. But it's gone so far beyond, you can't hide it anymore. That again, you've got people that are literally coming into office saying, "I intend to make war on that Constitution." It's not that I'm just going to lie about it and smile and pretend that I read it. You know, even Obama and Hitler, he said, "Oh, I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment. I just don't think you peons should be allowed to have access to it." But now we're so far beyond that that you've got folks doing what everybody knew Hitler wanted to do, which is go door to door and take guns, and he's open saying, "Yeah, we're going to do it." And Ocasio-Cortez doesn't have a clue.
You're right. And honestly, I agree with everything you're saying as far as the Constitution is no longer a driving force within today's government.
It is
a battle cry from the antiquated rebellion. That's all it is now. And we can decry its death, or we can find a way to manipulate what is coming. And I would rather look towards what is coming. Because I don't think there's any way for us to revive what was.
No, and I'm not suggesting that either. You're right. But what I am suggesting is that the one thing that we ought to be at least making clear here is let's not kid ourselves anymore. You still have people out in America, and on the left coast that never liked it and couldn't care less anyway. But the ones that I'm interested in talking to are the ones that look at the Mueller situation and ask questions like, why is it that Paul Manafort is going to jail? Why do they want to kill Julian Assange for letting people know the truth? You know, why is it that the Chinese socialist credit score system is coming here? And if you're a good little criminal like, Jim the Accoster, and your social credit score is high enough, like we see in China, I guess you can get good seats at the White House. The rest of you peons, though, aren't going to be allowed to buy bread.
Well, so, did you did know that last week they started to, in China, they started to limit access to national or international travel based upon social credit scores, and there were a number. I mean, thousands that were not allowed to fly.
Yeah, but and to be more specific on that score, Jeff, what they're doing, and the Chinese are kind of rolling this out the way we used to have in America when we had, constitutional republics. They even called them laboratories of democracy. I don't like the term. But the idea was you had individual states that could do things that were constitutional. And in China, what they're doing, Beijing was the big story this last week because that's the capital and it's a high population city. They're rolling out this socialist credit score city by city and implementing it in places. So, yeah, you're right. They rolled it out in Beijing, but they've already been doing it in a lot of other places. So the beta tests are ongoing. The big news is they intend to bring it here, and they're going to have the assistance of their big brother partners like Gulag.
Well, no, I agree. As soon as I first saw this, I started to rumble the drums about this is unacceptable and that this is absolutely what we're going to see happen not only in America but across the world. And honestly, there is a good side to it. The good side to it is right now people online who aren't having to take responsibility for how they act or what they say are brutal jerks. The nicest of people can be arrogant and insensitive in the most amazing ways because they're removed from, one-on-one communication. So having some responsibility placed upon them for that isn't a terrible thing. How they're doing it? No, it's horrible.
And it's not going to be enforced with, if you're a leftist who wants to beat somebody over the head with a bike lock on the left coast, that's okay because that guy didn't go to jail. It's only people who, like Laura Loomer, are trying to tell the truth. that are going to find themselves banned from Twitter.
Honestly, we're at a point right now where the pendulum is so far to the extreme that the only way that it's acceptable to proclaim appreciation for your nationality, race, or religious preferences is if you're a minority group and you can wear it proud. But if you're in a majority group, you're not allowed to even make the comment. So the pendulum has swung so far to the extreme. Eventually, it'll come back.
Well,
that's just the way things work. Society has always done that. We just happen to be somewhere along the line of the pendulum getting to its penultimate position before it rolls back to center.
Sometimes, Jeff, as we know, those pendulum swing limits, and it's not just a pendulum that swings the same distance every time. What we're seeing is waves upon waves, cycles upon cycles, wheels within wheels, right? But sometimes the limits are of biblical proportions, and I think that's actually what we're suggesting we're headed to here. As the system becomes completely totalitarian and the electronic limits are the only things that are in place, like China's socialist credit score system, the coming breakdown of the dollar and the things that will be used to replace it, the cryptocurrency with the complete ledger of everything via the blockchain that you've ever done, via that particular Bitcoin or whatever the federally approved currency will be. All of that stuff represents kind of a new limit that's so far beyond anything any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes or even read about.
Oh, sure. I mean, obviously the advent of technology as we know it today and its speed in which it's increasing is, unknown as far as modern human history. So when we get to look at the extremes and what all is included in it, I agree. Technology has given the pendulum momentum. No matter which direction it's going, the momentum is artificially increased because of the ability of people to communicate globally, instantaneously. I speak with people in Russia almost daily right now. And that's, I speak with people in England, in Russia, in the United States, in Australia, in New Zealand, almost every single day. And, that's unheard of. In our generation alone, that is miraculous, much less in the history of modern humanity. So yeah, the pendulum is now, under a different, velocity than it was before.
Okay.
And the extremes might be more extreme, but if you go back and look in Dark Ages Europe, you do not see a better land and a better society than you see today. So is the pendulum extending farther than it was back, 600 years ago? I don't think so. It just feels terrible because we happen to be in it, right?
All right. Well, we'll talk about a number of things today. I guess I'm going to throw out something, and I'll throw one more story in the mix, not even remotely one that I was going to put in here. But I think all of these stories that we've talked about so far, at least, and a few that are going to come next, all fit into what I guess I would call the big reveal. That as we point out, when you see the likes of an Ocasio-Cortez, a vacant airhead, actually sitting in Congress and proclaiming that she can make law without a clue what the heck it means, we know that things
have gone. I still can't believe she couldn't get to three branches of government. I mean, come on. How
she doesn't understand economics 101. She doesn't understand anything. Why are we surprised? But it's the big reveal. In other words, people are looking at this. If they have not been dumbed down to the point where they think she's a brilliant legislator, and they're going, come on, who are we kidding? This is off the page. So the big reveal is that more and more folks are waking up to it. Here are two stories, Jeff. Mexico, hundreds of migrants, as you know, over the weekend rushed violently the U.S. border. They were repelled with tear gas. The mainstream media had their pre-planned stories and their rigged photos of the famous woman dragging the kids, and why isn't she being hauled off for being a bad mommy? So there was that. Meanwhile, Tijuana has a whole lot of people that are saying we've had it. Polls are saying, and this was before the big incident on Monday, that 70% of them said, get these stinking migrants, these invaders, out of here. So that's part of the big reveal and the good news. Here's one that I figured you probably have somewhere on your list. DARPA this week. This is more stuff that we've been talking about and knowing was coming, but now they're revealing it, and it's being reported in, some of the leftist papers. They have successfully tested their AI swarming drones that can make independent battlefield decisions. Okay, you thought the Terminator was bad? Arnold Schwarzenegger was just one robot. DARPA is now testing entire swarms of robots with arms and the ability to spread disease and inject poisons, whatever it is they want. Imagine if poor John Connor had had to face a swarm of little T-100 robots, who could fly and come at him from all directions. It would have been a really short movie. But all of this stuff is not just out there; it's being revealed.
Well, it's not just that. You know, DARPA also, along with several other groups, have been working since early the year before last on making bioweapons that are basically the size of mosquitoes. That's what you're talking about. And then sending swarms of these, miniature robots.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Killer mosquitoes.
And, so we're talking about back in, the days of DARPA's, bioweapons. And that's where you send out some kind of poison or virus or something like that. But now the bioweapons are literally explosives, lethal injections, all these things. So the next time a mosquito bites you, it may be injecting you instead of sucking blood. But, this is the technology, and this is where humanity is going. And, these people who proclaim to be Christian or Jewish or Muslim, these are the ones who are developing these incredibly brutal forms of war. Why? So that, they can suppress anybody else, doing the same thing and without being, unchecked. So, it's the fear of the other guy doing it that's driving everybody to do it. And ultimately, as a human people, as a species on this planet that's supposed to be intelligent and advanced and moral, religiously superior to all others and all that other stuff, we are driving the brutality of humanity, and we're doing this in the name of God almost. It's really a shame. United States, we're supposed to be advanced, morally, religiously superior.
Who are we kidding, Jeff? That's been revealed. That was my point. The big reveal is we're not kidding anybody anymore. There is depravity in the swamp. And we see that on a number of fronts. Probably after the bottom of the hour, we can talk about some of the utter attacks on the rule of law. But my point here was not so much that DARPA's been doing this stuff. We know that. We know that all these weapons programs have been in place. We've talked about them for as long as we've been doing this show now at this point. But what's new this week is that when you see the stories from the waste stream essentially saying this stuff is being field tested, that the developments are not merely, a conspiracy theory that these things might run amok or whatever, but they are being rolled out. They're being rolled out in mass. So it's kind of like if you see the little swarms of miniature flying Arnold Schwarzenegger T-1000 Terminator robots being advertised, that the truth is way beyond that. And now they're deciding it's time to let people know just how far gone things already are.
Yeah, not just government. It's in the core morality of not just the West, but the East.
Yep.
Anyhow.
Okay.
Lots of things changing. Everybody's getting upset because of everything. And, we really have to start worrying about what's going on in our own yard, in our own house, because, it doesn't matter what happens at the government level. If we don't have a strong house, if we don't have a strong family, through mutual respect and love and kindness for each other, then whatever the government does, we're going to be, brought down with them. So the only way for us to fight back at all this is to start looking inward and not outward. That's my 10 cents. Anyhow, where do you want to go?
Well, and I don't disagree on that score. The only thing I would add is that we are supposed to know the times and the seasons. We're supposed to be able to recognize, to have discernment. Like the men of Issachar, the quote from 2 Chronicles, they knew the times and the seasons, so they knew what ought to be done. They knew what Israel ought to do. They knew what they needed to do as individuals and as groups. Now, when it comes to things like what we've been talking about today, my suggestion is, obviously we need to know who we serve. Choose this day. and so forth. But understand that there are, in fact, evil nutcases like the Swalwells and Ocasio-Cortezes that are no longer hiding the fact that they don't care right. about individuals, and they intend to destroy them. And that's right. the difference. Okay, it's not just, oh, you know, we need this weaponry because the big bad Russians have this weaponry. It's because we intend to take your ability to defend yourself from us away from you. So my suggestion to folks is, yeah, they need to not only be looking inward, but they need to be understanding the threats that are not just speculatively out there in the future, but that are here now, and that they're going to have to understand the time to choose, right? Which God do you right. serve? The biggest brother right. you can imagine, or the one that's written a book that's not allowed in schools anymore?
Right, but regardless of all that, seriously, regardless of all that, knowing the times and the seasons, you can think about, you know, God coming and changing all this all you want, but right here, right now, in your house, the man or the woman who lives with you, the children who trust you and rely on you, those are the most important things that you have. Whether or not God comes in this time or comes in another time or whether or not he doesn't come, none of that matters as much as right here, right now, in your house, that you take care of what you have right here, right now, or it won't be with you tomorrow when God comes to do all the things that you're getting ready for. And I think people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good are actually no good to anybody. So well, I understand what you're saying, but I think understanding the times and stuff like that, knowing who you serve those in your house. You made a promise to them face to face. And they're more important to you than the government, and they're more important to you than when God comes and what God does when God comes.
I'm not talking about when God comes. I'm talking about
That's my answer to knowing the times and the seasons. Go ahead.
All right, and I didn't say anything about who's coming when or that kind of thing. What I'm talking about is what's coming when, and that we need to be aware of it. Let me throw out one other, for example, on that score of the big reveal. Because this story has been around. Obviously, it's another one of these things we've talked about. I'm no fan, of course, of the whopping lie of anthropogenic or man-made global warming. We had East Anglia, the climate research unit, that was revealed years ago. Well, it's been a decade ago now, to be an utter fraud. And now you had stories this week in places like the Daily Mail. They're still not telling you the whole truth. They're still saying, oh, it's because of global warming that we have this global cooling. Yeah, wrap that around your whatever. But they're essentially admitting, oh, look, the major circulatory flows, like the Gulf Stream, have pretty well shut down. And that's why we're going to have huge cooler winters. And meanwhile, given what's been happening in the Northeast and the fact that this has broken all kinds of records already, and that the real scientists, the solar scientists and people that can look at cycles are saying, look, we are headed downhill in terms of solar output, and 2018-2019 may be the last warm winter we have. You think it's cold now, just wait to see what's coming in the next 2-5 years or so. So again, here's another one of those places, Jeff, where we can look and say, okay, I've got all my obligations to my family. But if we don't understand the times and the seasons, if we don't recognize that things are going to be a lot colder because we've been lied to about non-existent man-made global warming. No, you don't need a bikini; you need a wood stove that they've been trying to make sure you don't have. And all of those things are going to end up, if people aren't prepared, getting a whole lot of folks killed. They'll starve to death or they'll freeze to death. Go ahead.
Well, no, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot more to be talked about in this, and I want to definitely pick it up on the other side. So, yeah, about a minute left. So when we talk about global warming, it's actually kind of a weird
Pray
way
for
to
global
say it,
warming. Because, yeah, because it's not going to happen.
Right. We have climate change because of cycles, no question about it. And following my same line of reasoning from earlier about what's important right here and right now, the only thing that's important right here, right now, that's man-made, is the amount of pollution that we're pumping into the oceans and killing oceans. And, you know, these large areas of plastics and things that are growing in the ocean.
Well, there's more to it. We're at the break, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll pick it up on the other side. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Second half of Drive Time Friday, host Mark Call and myself, Jeff Gilbert. Tim Kearns might be with us next week. He has been sequestered, so we are unable to reach him for the show. He might be able to pop on later on, but we'll see. Anyhow, to finish up my thoughts on the other side, I think the biggest problem we have is man-made pollution. We have, you know, for example, for decades, we've had 40% of global, not just the United States, but global, 42% of global coal plants in the world are losing money. And they're, you know, and what they're pushing into the air is basically unnecessary, especially when you look at the cost of wind and solar and water generation.
Hang on, let me finish
the thought. It's okay.
Okay.
We have the technology. We have the technology to make changes to those things. And we have technology to clean up the oceans. We have technology to no longer allow people to use things that will take centuries and centuries to break down. And we have the technology to do that. That technology should be implemented to clean up our wastefulness and our abuse of the environment. That's what I think is correct about what the global warming people are talking about.
Well, let me
just finish a thought and I'll give it back to you. Is that as a general rule, what these people who are, you know, like in Australia, you know, kids in school staying out of school to protest against climate change. They shouldn't be protesting climate change. They should be protesting against how pollution minded the entire world is, because that's what's killing our oceans. That's what's affecting our ability to produce oxygen and to eliminate carbon dioxide. That's what is here now and needs to be fixed.
Okay,
we're
first,
not going to be able to fix tomorrow, whether it's colder or warmer. We just got to fix the, we got to keep our planet operating at prime efficiency. We're not doing that, and that's where we should be focusing our time. Go ahead. Thank
and
you.
And if we don't understand the facts, and if we don't understand the technology and the science, we're going to be misled, and that's part of the problem. For example, Jeff, now no offense, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. Carbon dioxide is a
that,
is
but
a key,
plastic in the ocean is.
Well, yeah, but you were conflating the two. So let's make sure we're clear on that. A carbon dioxide is not a pollution, and carbon dioxide is necessary.
But if we kill all the foxes, then the rats grow plenteous.
But we got to understand the facts. So let me, you know, another thing that you mentioned was coal. And, of course, the Obama regime was on a war against coal. The United States has some of the largest deposits of clean coal in the world. Coal is, in fact, cheap as an energy source relative to especially things you mentioned, solar and wind. Having lived with wind power and tried to maintain and so forth wind generators, yeah, they have their place, and their place is specific. But let's not talk about the costs without having the real numbers. So, in fact,
Costa Rica, we have for almost two full years run completely on water and wind gen.
And you're in a whole different part of the world, Jeff. I've been to that ridge and that you're talking about, where the generators are up there. That's a whole different situation. There are places.
Do you think that one topographical anomaly is only here?
No. Now let me finish, if you will.
I have nothing against coal. I have only something against people who are using products, whatever the product is, and it results in a dirty place.
All
a
right.
Dirty
so let's
plant.
Okay, let me finish, please. Show me the courtesy.
Go ahead,
okay.
Go ahead.
So
All good.
There are places in the world. We are in Colorado here. We're in one of the sunniest places in the world. Solar is a good fit. Now, it's only a good fit, however, if you understand that it's cheaper to put in solar panels than it is to run cables for miles and miles, and besides which some of us don't like the idea of being connected to a vulnerable grid anyway. So my point is, as an engineer, it's not just a simple matter of saying, coal is expensive and solar is cheap or wind is cheap. Wind is cheap if you've got a lot of wind. If you're in a place where the wind doesn't blow away from the equator and the intertropical convergence zones, it's not nearly as effective. If you're in a place where it's cloudy, solar doesn't work very well at all. And in terms of the amount of energy that it takes to produce a solar cell or a windmill, there is a fact that most people that are public school educated aren't aware of. Over its life, a solar cell has a tough time paying back the amount of energy that's used in its construction. The same thing is true, for example, of the BS of ethanol. All right, you can grow all of these crops and make ethanol out of them. Well, it turns out it takes as much energy from your diesel tractor to plow the fields and process and grow all of the stuff that's going to be turned into biomass as it does, well, release when you burn it. So there's a whole lot of stuff that's just plain stupid that's being proposed as a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. Meanwhile, the Obama regime, this is where I started to go with the coal plants. There hadn't been any coal plants built in the United States for the entire last decade or so. I'm not sure if there's been any under Trump. I doubt it yet. It takes a long time to reverse those things. But the U.S. has a large supply of clean coal. Clinton, basically, as part of his bribery decades ago, closed up the Kiparowitz area in Utah and shut that down. So in the rest of the world, they're burning some really dirty coal, and they're using it with in plants that don't have scrubbers. Ironically, those weren't subject to the so-called Kyoto Protocols or to the Paris Climate Accords. So in all of this discussion, the problem I have is that it's bad engineering, and it's people that don't know their you-know-what from a hole in the ground that are making economic decisions and mandating things as opposed to letting the free market say, hey, you know what? Wind makes sense in a windy area. Solar makes sense in a solar sunny area if there's no power lines around and you want, for whatever reason, to be off of, you know, lots of copper being buried in the ground. There are places, however, where internal combustion engines still make a lot of sense. Places where cheap, clean coal makes incredible sense, and economically it's a huge boon, but it's not being allowed. So all of those things are the issue. By the way, you didn't even mention it, but I will. We have huge efforts at geoengineering going on, aka chemtrails, to reflect sunlight by putting barium and aluminum salts in. This is probably the single greatest source of pollution, real pollution in the world, outside of what was done at Fukushima by polluting the oceans.
Well, okay, so you primarily refined my position on power, but I'm not talking only of power. I'm talking about overall pollution of the planet, making the planet not work at its most efficient range. We have the ability to understand a lot of that. And I have to tell you that fracking causes destabilization in the crust. We see it now.
It's obvious.
People who never had earthquakes, once fracking starts, they have earthquakes. Why? Because we're changing the structure of the earth. We are polluting the
ocean. And polluting the water table at the same time.
Yeah. And right. And all these things that we're doing, that's what people need to start complaining about. And using the idea of climate change and cooling and warming, I think that's just baloney. If they really wanted to fix something, it would be fixing the 100-plus global corporations that pollute 75% of the earth just to support their need for money and society's need for their products.
Okay, and here's where
that is a problem.
Here's where I would may or may not part company, simply to say the problem with a lot of these so-called technologies, look at so many of the technologies that are called green technologies and so forth. You know what? Solar makes sense, like I've said, in certain areas, and they would be good technologies to use. I'm happy that prices have come down as there's more of them. On the other hand, the fact that certain things are subsidized, and for example, the global climate taxes and carbon taxes and the claim that, you know, carbon dioxide is a pollutant, which is BS, and lets therefore put all these big brother government organizations in place and shut down clean coal plants and prevent the use of technologies that the markets would, in fact, otherwise, left to their own devices, build. There are places where windmills would be built. Great. And there are other places where, like in northern Colorado, I can see huge fields of very expensive windmills sitting quietly and rusting in the sun.
Listen, I agree. And, you know, when you talk about windmills here have nothing to do with trade winds. Windmills here, where I am, they have to do specifically with the topography and compression winds because a lake comes up to mountains. That's
sure.
Why there's windmills there.
Sure.
So when we talk about the flats of Kansas, you're not going to have a lot of compression of wind. So you don't put wind there.
You
put
solar. But you do have a lot of wind.
I agree. I agree, but none of that matters. I mean, you know, listen, when you get to the national grid, I think that we should have regional grids, and the regional grid should be powered by the source that the that is most efficient for that area.
All right.
And there should no longer be national grids. But when it comes to pollution, the amount of plastics and the amount of raw sewage and chemical pesticides and fertilizers that we dump into our waters – and the stuff that we pump into these deep wells for fracking and so forth, the and gas and everything else, these things are the problem. These are the problem, not global warming, not global climate change. Pollution because of man's greed is the problem. And that's
okay.
What we should focus on. Everybody else is doing everything else, and I think it's unproductive. So let's move on anyway. Go ahead.
All right. Well, the last thing I will say is simply, as the world literally is now being revealed to be heading into a cooling period, because the sun's output is declining, what is it that Big Brother is spending billions of dollars on in these various black programs? Answer, reflecting sunlight that's going to eventually be really, really important. So the problem is not just pollution, where I agree with you, Jeff. It's the fact that you've got idiots that, no, they're not idiots. They're evil, and they know darn well what they're doing. They are seeking to exacerbate a problem, knowing full well that the solar cycle is headed down. What are we going to do? We're going to make it even worse by spending billions of dollars poisoning people with crap coming down from the skies, allegedly to reflect sunlight that we're going to really wish we had here in about a year. So all of those things are part of the problem. It's the fact that there are huge efforts underway to do the bad things that ought to concern us. And, you know, when it comes to pollution, again, we shouldn't forget the Monsatans of the world that have literally polluted the genetic strains of, you know, Frankencorn and Frankenbeets and Frankensoy and all kinds of stuff that if we actually had free markets and people understood, if they had the knowledge to realize what was being fed to them, they wouldn't be buying it. But they don't have much choice. All right. So speaking of corruption, I guess, we need to talk about the so-called Mueller investigation and the criminality there. There are some really good people. Jerome Corsi, it's beyond irritating to see what they're doing with Jerome Corsi. They're gonna stick it to Paul Manafort again. They're going after Roger Stone. In other words, the scorched earth policy is about saying, look, we don't have any evidence. We don't have a mandate here to do what we're actually doing. But we are, by gosh, you know, by the God that we serve in Big Brother land, we're gonna destroy a duly elected president and make sure that the deep state prevails come hell or high water.
It'd be much easier if he wasn't making it so easy. If it wasn't making it so easy. I mean, because he says some of the most insane things.
You mean Mueller?
Breaking forests in Norway? Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Huh?
He made a comment when talking about California that they would do better at maintaining their fires if they were like
Are you talking about Mueller?
Break their forests. Huh?
You're not talking about Mueller.
No, talking about I'm sorry. For some reason, I thought you were talking about Trump, duly elected president. I thought you were talking about Trump. So
I'm talking about Mueller trying to undermine and
my bad. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
But what about Cohen? How do you view Cohen's introduction to this?
I think Cohen is your basic just sellout. And if you put enough pressure on most people that don't have much integrity, they'll roll over like a cheap suit, and that'll be the end of it. So, you know, you can basically get people. The reason why Jerome Corsi, who does have integrity, has said, you know, let them throw me in jail. I'm not going to sign a bogus document. Jeff, for years we have seen the likes of the Robert Muellers that are literally turning a blind eye to crime. I mean, look, for crying out loud. Who lied to the FBI? Answer, she wasn't under oath, and they let her bleach bid and destroy the disk drives. Hillary Clinton and company. And yet they're going to go after Manafort. They already destroyed several members of Trump's cabinet because he, quote unquote, lied to the FBI. And my line for a long time has been, no, that's the FBI's job, to lie, to do it under oath, to withhold evidence, obstruct justice. Ask the Hammonds and the Bundy Ranch folks, you know, what happened there. The cases were thrown out of court because the FBI was caught withholding exculpatory evidence. They lied through their teeth. You still haven't seen the videotapes from any number of various false flags. They've got their informants knee-deep in almost everything that happens. And here's the FBI having the hubris to say, oh, Manafort lied to us. How dare he? Who does he think he is? Jim Comey?
Well, yeah. It's pot calling kettle black, no question.
You bet.
You know,
well, it's worse.
For them to make all this all these fusses about, you know, how Russia has done this and that and how Saudi did this to Khashoggi and all this other stuff. We do this. We, you know, come on. The term Arkanside, I think, is going to be put in the dictionary if it hasn't already.
It probably has a lot of dictionaries.
Because of that, you know? But so, listen, I mean, when we move on from, you know, the depravity of our government, what do? You know, they're all going to be liars, and until we can change things, you know, that the ship is going where it's going. There's nothing we can do but complain about it and tell people what to do about it. And the only thing we can do about it is to try to find ways to soften the blow against us personally in our own homes.
Well, here's
how
where
you
I will
do that: by growing your own food, so you don't have to worry about Frankenfoods.
All right, but
you
Jeff,
know, if you live in a big metro where you have to spend $15,000 a month for rent, example, get out, move. You know, if you can't live because your rent's too high, find a place where you can live. You know, these are hard choices, but it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to make these choices now than it will be, you know, sometime in the future where you're stuck where you are and you have to buy their stuff and you have no options. You have options today. You just, you know.
Okay, well, we talk about that a lot, but back to criminality just briefly, because the bigger point here is there are still a lot of people who don't understand and have not been exposed to the fact that, wait a minute, this stuff is beyond criminal. There are still people out there, I know this kind of strains credulity, who actually believe that Mueller is a person of integrity. They haven't looked at his history. The New York Times and the WAPO aren't going to tell you about, the Lolita Express and Sex Slave Island and Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. As far as people are concerned, Bill Clinton isn't a rapist, but Trump is, for example. You know, based on what evidence? Well, there are all kinds of women that were shut up. There have been people that have been Arkansided, as you've mentioned. And yet, I think what's part of the problem here is so many Americans are completely ignorant of how far gone some of this is. If we can't recognize that, if we can't literally have a discussion and say, come on, you're parroting facts that are in fact not true because you're reading them out of the Clinton News Network. And I believe there are probably still people that don't understand what a criminal Hillary Clinton is. Something's wrong when that's the case, and we have an obligation not to stay silent, to speak up.
Sure, but to what end?
To the end that if we recognize evil will spread.
But everything that we've been saying and everything that everyone else has been saying about Clinton, what has happened with it? Nothing. Not only nothing, the Clinton Foundation and what they did to Haiti is, you know, completely brushed over.
Okay. You know, well, wait a minute.
So, I mean, it's almost like our voting means nothing.
It doesn't.
Our identifying how guilty they are and how terrible they are does nothing. It's really disheartening, isn't it?
Nope. Let me give you the counterexamples, okay? Donations to the Clinton Criminal Foundation have collapsed by 90%. Now, your vote isn't worth much because it can be rigged, and racist nutcases in Florida can produce tens of thousands of votes in the time that the few Republicans in Broward County were standing in line. So forget the votes, but vote with your dollars. That was part of the reason why I was so upset with the bad science that was being pushed, because people don't have the ability. Right? I can go out and buy solar cells and put them on my roof, and that's a choice I can make. I can't necessarily build a coal-fired power plant, but I can also not give money to the Clintons. Now, this is what was – here's the counterexamples this week, Jeff, and these are the kind of things that it's at least funny to point out. Sometimes ridicule is a very powerful weapon. Ridicule is probably a more powerful weapon than most people's vote. Clinton faces empty seats, both of them, Bill and Hillary, as they continued their Trump-trashing speaking tour, and she collapsed into a coughing fit. So here you go. Not only have donations to their foundation collapsed by 90%, but the first of their 13-city paid speaking tour, rake-in-the-money events, was a dismal failure. They had a 20,000-seat auditorium in Toronto. The tickets literally were in the cheap seats. Only 3,300 were actually sold. They roped off and cordoned off most of the entire arena to make it look like there were more people than there were. And still, videos all over the place showing huge numbers of empty seats. Compare and contrast with the people that are standing in line to see a president that's actually at least speaking, talking the talk. Now, I'm not sure that he's doing much yet. He's only got about another month in order to really, you know, lock him up, I guess you'd have to say. But again, here's where I think we differ, Jeff. I believe that people have to be aware of these things and have to be understanding, because if men stay silent in the face of evil, evil will prevail.
No question. But at the same time, you know, we've had the same discussions for the last, I don't know, how long have we been doing this? Years, 8, 9 years, I don't know. And at some point, you know, it just feels like they're going to be idiots, they're going to be duplicitous, and they're going to be evil.
Okay.
And,
well, so let's change.
So what do we do with the information? How do we lessen the blow to us personally? That's what I think, you know, people really need to hear.
And I think we've already talked about some of that. Had Hitler been elected, things would have been really, really nasty. We don't disagree on that. And you're in a place where you probably wouldn't worry as much as some folks would about, being on a certain list and having, you know, the stormtroopers break down your door in the middle of the night and take you away. But they have, in fact, continued to come for the guns. These are things people need to be aware of. So the fact that she didn't win, and I believe that it took a huge landslide, that there are far more Americans, that have awakened to what's going on, than we are being told about. There was a Star Trek episode, you remember this one? It's called The Menagerie, years ago, with Captain Christopher Pike. The pilot episode.
Who could forget that? Kirk's first kiss, right? No, that was the first time he hit a woman.
Okay, well anyway, there's a famous scene in this where there are these guys with the big heads. Remember I forget the name of the aliens. But in any case, they had big heads, and they could produce illusions in people.
Right.
And Talos IV, the Talosians, they could produce illusions. And there's a place and a scene where Captain Pike – well, no, but here's the point. I want to get this story in. Captain Pike gets a phaser from one of the guys, and he literally blows a hole in his cage. The episode that was originally aired was called The Cage. He blows a hole in it with his phaser, but it doesn't look like anything happened. And he has taken the phaser off of one of these guys with the big heads, and he points the phaser at the guy with the big head's head. And this is the guy who's producing the illusions, kind of like the New York Times and the WAPO. That's the parallel here. And he says, look, I have a theory. My theory is that this phaser really is working, and that I just blew a hole in the front of this cage here, and that I'm not being allowed to see it because you are trying to manipulate my mind. So I'm going to test my theory on your head. And guess what? All of a sudden, the image changes, and he can see the hole in the cage. So I'm going to suggest that we've got a whole lot of illusion going on in the United States, and that one of the things we can do is to break through the illusion. And if we need to test our theory, we do that. One way or another, we say, you know what? A whole lot of what we're being fed are lies, and it has mattered. You know, I don't know that the number of people that we reach is all that significant on an international scale, but it certainly, I hope, is significant to individuals who are saying, look, I'm not going to be buying the lie anymore. And that's one of the things we can all do. We can say I'm not going to be lied to, and I'm not going to accept it.
Right. And as we close, my question is, once they get to that point, then what? That's what I'm thinking we should be focusing on somewhat more. And, you know, that's how kind of I bring to the table. That's what I've been
Come out of her, my people. It's been my message and my
and
mission
what
for as long
her,
as I've been doing radio.
You know.
Well, you continue.
Get out of the metropolitans. Get out of the place where they're force-feeding you all these things. Get into the place where you can live more free. And if you have to downsize or change your lifestyle, then so be it. You'll like it better in the future. Be true to the ones who you serve. Those are the ones in your house.
Well, and if you're far enough ahead of the curve, you can even prepare a place, and you can continue to talk and allow other people to understand. And we're supposed to not keep silent. We're supposed to touch not the unclean thing. All of these things we can do and we should. All right, thanks, Jeff. Shabbat shalom, folks.
Thank you, Mark. Be blessed, everybody. Shabbat shalom.